Soccer Show on World Football Day.
This is the Mexican Soccer Show, and this week we'll be previewing the vital playoff between El Tri and New Zealand. Millions of dollars at stake, as well as Mexico's footballing pride. I'm Tom Marshall. Joining me today, Naib Moran, over there in Madrid, in Spain. How's it going, Naib?
Good, good time over here. It's pretty late. The La Liga's week's over. Good game so far. I mean, Giovanni's hurt, so he couldn't play today against Atletico. But, you know, Piojo doesn't need Giovanni, so it's a good injury for him because he doesn't have that much games to play.
And in Phoenix, we've got Wiso Vasquez. How's it going, Wiso?
It's going great, man. I can't tell you any players are playing right now like Naib here in Phoenix at all. So I can tell that it's beautiful weather right now and excited for the game on Wednesday. Just getting ready to go, analyzing all the things that need to happen for us to finally be there and then go to New Zealand and kick the Kiwis' butt.
You're going to be in the Azteca.
Yes, I will be there. Flying in tomorrow night, staying there and staying with some family. Got tickets finally. I found a way to get a ticket. They sold out really fast when I was looking for them and I couldn't get anything. Finally got a way to get in. So leave back on Thursday and coming back home. So in and out, not such a trip to go there and find something to do. So I'll be there rooting.
good stuff. And in the second half of the show, we've got Jason Pine, who's going to be joining us from New Zealand. He's a football commentator over there, so it's going to be good to get the New Zealand perspective on this massive game for them as well. But first up, Mexico. Let's cover a little bit of old ground, just because I think it's, you know, so vital to this game. And I mean, I don't know. The fact that Mexico haven't called up any European-based players, and the fact that, you know, this squad is basically, you know, America. I mean, thoughts on it? I mean, how first of all, how big a decision is this from Miguel Herrera?
I think it's a decision based on the confidence, I think, that Piojo has won as a coach after winning, you know, his first title. Especially with a club like America that has all this history and all the other stuff mixing around this team because of the owner and so forth. And I think it just catapulted him to a position of power in a way that makes him do this kind of decision, believing in players from Liga Bancomer MX solely and excluding the players that are playing in Europe, which have top quality, but in a Piojo's opinion, because of the quickness of all this that's going on at the moment in Mexico, he saw it more prudent to just have players that play in the Mexican League, because this is a process that, as you just said, Thomas, it's a quick one and it has as a base the club that he was just coaching just weeks ago and still is the coach of America. Yeah.
Just to put it in a bit of perspective before Wiso comes in there, it's like, you know, America reigning Liga MX champions and finished top of the season this season. So it's a club that in 2013 certainly has dominated Mexican football. So, I mean, the basic theory seems to be, I mean, couldn't be more simple, really. The national team's doing bad with European-based players. So let's just get the best team we've got locally and the most amount of players we can possibly get there. Wiso, for you, good decision, bad decision? How do you see it?
I think ultimately it's a good decision. I know there's a lot of fans out there that are saying, how can we, you know, how can we exclude Chicharito? How can we exclude our Europeos when if we're down 1-0, we're going to put somebody in? You know, are we really going to trust our local players if there's 10 minutes left and we need something like that? But just like Naib said, confidence is key, especially for a coach that's been winning. Obviously, there was some hiccups in La Liga Alajuelense in that loss that everybody just kind of spazzed out and took out. You know, that's our team. That's who's going to lose. But came back. They've been winning their games. They've been winning their preparation game. They did win that Finland game. And I know it wasn't a great team or it wasn't in the same atmosphere. But I think we're okay. I think we're going to be fine. This is New Zealand. We're not facing a European. We're not facing a Uruguay that are coming in. We're facing New Zealand. Credit to them. They've gotten to that place. But I think we're going to be okay with local players. And just like you said, Piojo's got that confidence. He's got his team. He knows his team. He can speak to his team. And he was put into that predicament. Should I call other players that are going to come in? I don't really buy the miles. I don't really buy the trip. And, yeah, it's going to be a long ride from going to Mexico, Los Angeles, going all the way to New Zealand. I think that was just more of a scapegoat. That's why I'm not calling him. I think he's just confident. He's like, I want my team. I know how to motivate them, and I want to make sure that they're going to be winning. My only concern would be that, you know, I said, you know, stick out and maybe do call some of the best Euros out there. Maybe not all of them, but just some. And if they don't happen to be at their best, bench him. And I know he's going to get a lot for that. Why is he benching the European players and starting Massa, you know, over Moreno or Topo Valenzuela? But at the same time, it's all up to the perception of the coach. And I know it's really, really tough to be in that position with the media, obviously, and everyone just staring at them. So I think he did the right thing. He knows that he can win it, and he's going to motivate the players in order to do so. And I think looking at the opposition, I think it can be done.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mexico definitely favourites, but my argument would be that, you know, Jamaica at home, they're also favourites, and, you know, all the other games this year at home, Mexico have been favourites, and they just, you know, failed to step up. So, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as easy as, necessarily that easy, you know what I mean? I think New Zealand are going to be pretty tough, but we'll get to that. Yeah, I just think personally it's a bit extreme. You know, I understand the idea of, like, you know, taking a core of a team. It's like, for me, it's stuff like, well, first of all, Valenzuela, I just don't think he's good enough, you know what I mean? Wow. I mean, I think you can slot in a better player there, a better centre-back, and the obvious one's Moreno. You know, exactly. I just think he could do that. He's good enough and he's, you know, intelligent enough as a player to do it. And the other things is like Molina. I mean, we saw Checo Jimenez this week. Checo Jimenez, you know, left out of the squad. He was like, you know, there's certain players that have been called up that have only got two starts in this season. You know what I mean? And it's true. It's just Molina. He's started twice for America this year. You've got Aldrete. He was like the kind of reserve wing back for America. You know what I mean? And I think that's and Quick Mendoza as well. I know he's played well this season, but you know it's you know I just think it's too soon for a player like that, and I wouldn't be confident of him coming off the bench. But I do understand the idea. Yeah. What do you reckon, Naib?
No, what I was gonna say, Tom. I think also that before whatever happens in the next 2 weeks, is that this Mexican national team is not, in a way, is not representative of what could happen and if Mexico does make the World Cup and defeats New Zealand. You know, when I say it's not representative, it just, like what Chaco just mentioned, I mean, you think about it, you see the names there on the list. I mean, I don't see a Valenzuela in a World Cup. I don't see a Jesus Molina in a World Cup, specifically thinking the guy doesn't even start for America. You know, those types of notes. You know, Piojo, in this way, I mean, in his decisions that he's going to make, I mean, is he's going to pick players that he trusts? I mean, for example, right now we'll talk about the goal issue, the goalie issue about Moises and Corona, and it's all looking that it's going to be Moises because he had Moises in Atlanta and now in America, and specifically with America, he's had a stupendous season, and last season as well with the goal in the final. But, you know, it's a tough topic to talk about, because of the hastiness that this thing has been. I mean, it's just, we've said it several times, this is a circus. And it's a circus because all the decisions have been done in a quick manner. You know, and it all goes around just the fact of winning a World Cup ticket. I mean, and it's not even a sure thing just yet.
Yeah. One thing, I mean, that I'll add really quickly is that I think also Piojo is looking at this. He was hired to do one thing, to win two games.
Yeah.
And that's it. He doesn't know what's happening afterwards. He doesn't need the players to start thinking about something else. It's two more games. Why not take his squad? And, yeah, I think we all share that having Moreno there would be a better option. But and those backups would be, you know, why even bring those backs when you can have somebody else? But ultimately, I think he is taking that gamble. But I think it's going to be turning out all right. But, you know, just like you said, Tom, we've been at that, coming in that first game in Jamaica and we were, you know, undefeated through the qualifiers, and then look what happened. So we'll definitely keep going, and we'll hold on to our seats to see what happens.
Yeah, and then I think the notes from the Finland game, I think if you take out negative notes from that game, the negative notes come from the defense. I mean, you play against a Finland C team, you know, that is, the you know, players that are not renowned or anything. And you see the little mistakes from the defense. I mean, you see the mistakes from Massa, Topo, perhaps they were a little bit relaxed. But, I mean, you can't afford those mistakes against New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand, you know, there is a chance. I mean, it's a chance for New Zealand, as an equal chance for Mexico to make the World Cup. You know, the little mistakes like that that were shown against Finland are not mistakes that have to be shown against New Zealand.
Yeah, well, he's had that game on Saturday, hasn't he, against Lobos Wap.
Yeah, it was a 4-0, and two goals from Rafa Marquez. I mean, with that's three goals in this little mini era for Rafa Marquez.
He's back, baby!
Rafa's back. The most popular guy in the United States.
Just don't mess up and get too angry so much that you love your country and get a red card.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, there's yeah, but yeah. So yeah, what about the nerve factor? I mean, and the crowd as well. I mean, we've seen, you know, Mexico this year, you know, World Cup, the qualification at home. You know, one win out of five games, 3-0 draws and one loss. I mean, in a number of those games, the crowd have kind of got behind the opposition in the end. You know, they started supporting Mexico, and then bit by bit the support's dropped and dropped and dropped, and then they eventually just started like clapping the other team and doing the olés and that for the when the other team are passing it round. I mean, how much of do we see that as an issue, you know, the fact that fans could possibly turn?
No, Whistle, I think you were in the Panama game, right? The one with the masterful chilena from Raul Jimenez. And you saw that, I guess you had the view, and it clearly happened that once Panama tied, I think the whole crowd sort of started going against the Mexican national team. But, you know, luckily Raul Jimenez was, you know, bendecido in that game, and he scored that goal. But, you know, I think, what did you see, Wiso, in the games that you have been?
Obviously, you have to take into consideration, you know, obviously the coach. And this is going to be the first time, you know, that... You know, Piojo's going to be there with the El Tri. Not at the same time, how many fans of the America, the Club America, are going to be there? And will they really boo? I think so, yes. If it comes down that we're down 1-2-0, not, you know, 10 minutes to go, the Azteca will turn on them. But for your question, in Panama, it was. As soon as it happened, the reaction was, I knew it. It was more of a, this exactly what's going to happen. We, you know, we get our hopes up. But it's so, they're so bipolar. The fans are so bipolar at the Azteca. And that's something that I keep writing. And sorry for using that word. As soon as something happens, it erupts with just huge madness. And then something bad happens, and it erupts with some huge madness again. So it's it definitely goes back and forth. Unless we have a comfortable lead, 4-0, 3-0, something happens, it's okay. But it's tough. And that's why it's part of the mysticism of that stadium, and you definitely see it no matter where it is. You know, the people from the FM will share the thoughts and how it is. I knew this was going to happen. You're going to have the people that are not America fans that obviously are not okay with all of this, that are going to turn it. This is what your team does, and it's just going to go back and forth. So I definitely see if something does happen early, you know, the Azteca will be turning on anyone.
No, I think you just brought a good point up about the coaches. I mean, in this four-year process, I mean, you have Chepo, who doesn't transmit that much emotion, and always was hidden in those benches, not coming out and, you know, pulling the crowd together. Vucetich at all doesn't do that at any time. Usually doesn't show that much emotion either. Piojo shows a lot of emotion. I think Piojo has to pick up the crowd in some way, be like another fan, and actually wake up the crowd and push the players. I think Piojo does that excellently. I mean, his celebrations are memorable, you know, beyond belief, even if they make a lot of fun about him. But, you know, that's what the Mexican wants, that's what the fan wants to see. Here in Atletico de Madrid with Cholo Simeone always looks at the crowd and makes the crowd scream when the team is a little bit down, you know. And I think that's important, and especially with Azteca. I mean, there's going to be 105,000 people. If the 105,000 people unite with the team, it's really impossible for the opponent to not feel some type of nervousness, you know? And I think we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that in the past. We didn't see in the World Cup qualifiers at all, and I think that has to be recuperated in this one game.
Yeah. I think if Mexico do make the World Cup, Herrera's just going to be a star. I really do. I think when you know the British TV pick up and in the Europeans pick up in his sideline mannerisms, I think he's just going to be a star.
He's been planning it. I guess you know, he's probably going to run with the players and
practicing his celebrations in the mirror.
As long as he has to do what
Maradona did when he scored and he ran and he did the little whale, you know, he slid across the field in the World Cup. I mean, you got to kind of stop it. But yeah, it's true. I share with you the same thing, you know. It is a different coach. It's a very different coach. And getting everybody involved, would he choose the Azteca? The crowd intensity. Yeah, the elevation, the smog. But I think ultimately New Zealand's going to go in there. And I don't think they have ever faced such a hostile environment. And knowing what I went through with in Costa Rica, I could just imagine 10 times that at the Azteca. So,
and then we also have to point out that it's the day. It's in the day. I mean, it's the games that occur in the afternoon time in Mexico City are really tough for the opponent. I mean, I remember when the U.S. played Mexico for the 2010 World Cup and Javier Aguirre was on the bench. You know, that game, you know, in the day, it's a whole different story. I mean, it's more, in a way, it's more vibrant because since the game is in the day, the people are more awake, you know, people don't go to work. There's this kind of connection between different people with the taquero and the doctor and the lawyer. At night is more different. At night is, you know, more relaxed, more, you know, day is gone, the work is over. This one is not. Everyone is sort of on the same page, and I think that also influences the advantage for Mexico.
Yeah. I was just going to make a couple of quick points about what Wiso was saying about the Azteca and you know, the crowd in general. It's like, I feel like the history of the Azteca and the fact that Mexico have been so dominant, I don't know if you might not agree, but, you know, I feel like Mexico fans that go there, go to the Azteca, especially World Cup qualifying when you're playing, you know, Jamaica, Honduras, they expect to win because historically they've always won. And I think it's almost like it becomes less of a game. I mean, I don't know if people have been to Lucha Libre. That's like, it's more about the crowd than than the actual wrestling, you know what I mean? And I feel like the Mexico crowd go to the Azteca and it's like they want to be entertained. They want to, you know, have a few drinks and, you know, kind of it's more of an event than you know, watching a tactical 4-4-2, 5-3-2, you know what I mean? And they expect goals and when that doesn't happen, then they get annoyed. And I think that's why they're easily kind of turned. The other thing I'd say, from a New Zealand point of view, I think one of the keys to the game, and we're going to get onto the keys to the game in a minute, but for me, I think New Zealand, you know, if they can keep the crowd down and stay you know, level after 45 minutes, I think that's when the crowd could possibly come into play, you know, to the detriment of Mexico, because we've seen them really struggle in games, you know, later on when the crowd has turned. But, let's get down to the actual game. I mean, how do we see it going? I mean, do both of you think that it's going to be New Zealand with, you know, 10 players behind the ball and Mexico pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's just going to be that, can Mexico get that early goal? Can they get the breakthrough? But, you know, is that how we see the game going?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we saw Greece, but I think if there's a game that sort of is a game that the New Zealand coach had to at least see once or twice, thing is that game against Jamaica. And this is what Jamaica played in a smart game that first World Cup qualifier, because it did play defensive, but it managed to beat the defenders on the back and with the speed, you know. And right now, we got to admit, man, you see Topo, you see Massa, you see Rafa, there are central defenders that are not fast. And I think if New Zealand's able to use that speed that they might have with this Chilean player that is in Stuttgart, who doesn't play that much, but, you know, he's young and probably hungry to score and so forth. You know, that speed, but also being organized in the back. Jamaica didn't do that much mistakes in that game against Mexico. And if it wasn't for Corona, maybe they might have taken the win. You know, it was a smart game played by Jamaica and Azteca. And it got the crowd on its side. You know, I perfectly remember the last 20 minutes of that match. I mean, every time Jamaica had the ball, they were saying, ole, ole, ole. It was a bipolar that Wiesel was talking about.
I see. I think the New Zealand's going to do, you know, I think the coach is going to do what every other coach has tried to do in the Azteca. I mean, the New Zealand coach is going to go in and get everybody back, hope for a tie, maybe a quick counter, and then go back and finish it off over there in New Zealand. So if we look at what we know, we saw in Finland, and I know it's not the same, but the field was a lot smaller, and I was impressed of how, you know, Mexico was the fluidity of the game, a lot of passing, keeping possessions, crisp passes that were coming in. Obviously, the team knows each other, so that's going to help out. But I see that, I mean, for the keys of the game for us is keeping it, you know, on the ground, keeping that possession, and hopefully keeping so much possession that they're going to make mistakes. And that's where we capitalize with, obviously, great form that Peralta is in and whoever's going to be with him next to him. We have taken consideration also that, you know, their best player, I think, Winston Reed is out. There should be that's a big hurt for them. What other players are there that can make an impact, that can have? I mean, Jamaicans, as much as maybe they're not so tactical, they're the fastest people on the planet. And I also think New Zealand going in there, I think the altitude, I think it will do a factor. So I'm feeling more confident than when I was last time on with you guys facing Panama and going into Costa Rica. A lot more confident. I'm not taking it lightly. You know, obviously the defense is out there, and we've had some mistakes looking at the Finland game. But if we're looking at this New Zealand, I think they tied Trinidad and Tobago. They lost against, you know, the United Arab Emirates. So I haven't seen them, you know, at least in paper, do a good job. Or the only other team that I think they won was a friendly match against Honduras last year. But they, other than that, they haven't outscored any of their opponents in the last 2 years outside of Oceania. And well, they did lose that tournament, so to Tahiti. So we're kind of seeing where this, you know, New Zealand team, can they really come out without their best player? And coming into a huge stadium with the altitude, the people, the smog, the time, I think it's all in our favor. But that being said, it's been all in our favor every single game of the year in Azteca. So I can definitely share any misses.
good stuff. And Naib, the change of tactics. I mean, we're still touching on like that important point there that, you know, every team's come to the Azteca this year. And you know, basically parked the bus, and all of them apart from one have come back with points. I mean, you know, do we think that the change of formation from the like kind of 4-4-2 or, you know, variation of that to you know, 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, whatever you want to call it, with three centre backs, two wing backs pushing high up. I mean, do we think that's going to make a difference in terms of getting over or around or through that park bus?
I think it does. I think in considering the seasons, well, the past two seasons that Layún and Aguilar have had playing those positions every week, you know, it does, you know, give other variation to the play. I mean, there's more ways to beat the probably the 4-4-2 that New Zealand is going to have, or even, you know, I don't even know, maybe 4-5-1, if that's the case, but flood the midfield. You know, it will be important for Layún and Aguilar to consistently head to the attack, and that will ask for Negrito Medina to play more close to the center backs, because you want to be able to, you know, to open, be able for Paulo or Layún to go up, but have a good backup, you know, in the back. So if it's like if someone beats me in the back, you know, I already have someone behind me taking care of that, you know, probably error that I might do by not coming back in the front. So I think it will help, especially because it's players that play that have been playing that for the past 2 years. I mean, Paulo Aguilar and Layún. Layún is a right-footed player, but he plays better as a left wing back. So I think that will help, especially for his shot. Layún can shoot with his right foot, cutting in. He scored several goals already this season like that. He scored one against Pumas, if I'm not mistaken. That was pretty bright, and it came from that exact same position. But also it will be important, not just the defense. I think the midfield will be important with what it looks to be Gullit and Luis Montes on the attack, and we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but I think it does help. The two, having that five, the three center backs and two left and the wing backs, basically.
Yeah. I think it adds another player going forward, doesn't it? So I think that should provide more option. We saw, what do you reckon? I think, just before you jump in, I don't think people have stressed it enough that, the change of system from what Chepo was doing and what Vucicic was doing to what Herrera's doing now is absolutely vast, you know what I mean? It's a vast change in system. So, I mean, I think it's another big reason, if not the biggest reason, why Herrera's, not called up the Europeans and gone for so many America players, you know what I mean? But so do you see it being different this game, in terms of, Mexico, they've just kind of bounced off the wall. They've kind of run through, tried to break through the wall in all these qualifying games, and they just bounce back time again. They've got up, they've gone again and bounced back, you know what I mean? You think that they can actually break down this wall with this team that Herrera's likely to put out and the system that he's implementing?
I definitely think it's a better chance of doing it. I kept saying the 4-4-2 is not going to work when you have 10 people in the back parking the bus. Obviously, those pelotazos that are going in, you have taller players, stronger players, more physical players. It's not working. And the great thing about it is that they couldn't go through the middle because you didn't have a great playmaker or someone that can just take that. Just like Naive said, having the wings and having wings that do it all the time. Guardado didn't play that position, on the left. We were trying to figure out what Giovanni was going to do on the right side. So even the 4-4-2 wasn't working because it wasn't a real 4-4-2. You didn't have the right players to do a 4-4-2. It works in many teams, but it wasn't working out. Now we have actual players that are running around through the sides that are going to come in and create more chances, have two great players, emphasis on the great because they are from León, Peña and Montes, that can carry that have that 10 that can help. And although Peña sometimes is a little, you can take a little gamble, you have no idea what he does, he has that control and he's showing that, obviously he can score, he has that foot, and Montes has that lethal. It kind of reminds me, he can shoot from out, or he can go in and create plays. If Cena has the games that we all want him to have, he can also stop that game. So I think that's why, just like you said, Tom, you have that 4-4-2 going away, getting that 5-3-2 coming in, helping out more in the Azteca. I think it's going to work, and we can finally break off, the more fluidity of the game that way.
Yeah, and also remember, León also plays with five defenders in the back. So I think, having Montes and Gullit as your, more creative midfielders that play in a team that uses those five defenders in the back, it helps a lot because they understand the movements that each player is going to do. And I think that's really helpful. I mean, stressing the small associations, I think that's really important with Piojo in these two games. And we'll talk a little bit later about those small associations.
But Peña said the same thing when he played for Chepo. We came back and they're like, well, why do you do well over here in León? He said, because I'm not playing what I want to play, what I'm used to playing. I'm playing a system where I'm not, comfortable in. So that's a great point, Naive.
Yeah, and quite a lot of players like that as well, wasn't it? But and there's also, I think, something about a Mexico team playing this formation that it's like La Volpe, and I think, going back to the 2006 World Cup and stuff, wasn't it? And I don't know, I just think somehow, the La Volpista system and the high pressure and stuff like that, I just think it really suits Mexico's players, you know what I mean? And Miguel Herrera is obviously played under La Volpe, and I just think it suits him. I like it, you know what I mean? I think it suits the players better. I think it suits the positives that Mexican players have, especially the technique. So, I think that's something to add in there. Starting lineup. Anyone want to read out what they think it's going to be? I mean, I think it's pretty much set, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the doubt is the goalkeeper. If it's going to be Corona or Moy Muñoz, But I think you see there the Topo, Massa, and Rafa as the center backs. Then you have Paul Aguilar on the right wing back and Layun on the left wing back. Midfield, there's going to be Negro Medina's true central holding midfielder with Peña and Montes interchanging in the midfield in front of him. And then on the attack, you have Peralta. And then that's the other question. Who's going to be the player, the teammate playing alongside Peralta? Is it going to be the Nigris or is it going to be Jimenez? In my opinion, I would actually add a third name that sounds crazy, but I think Escobosa has a chance to start in Azteca. And I've been saying a lot about the small associations, and I think Escobosa has been playing an excellent season with Santos and knows the movements of Peralta better than anyone because, you know, he's been growing in the Santos farm system since he was a kid. And I think that's what, you know, you want those associations to work in these games. Mm. Players that know each other pretty good, that understand each other. And I think, you know, it's this question. I mean, the Nigris, you know, he started that game against Lobos WAP in this weekend, not Jimenez. You know, Jimenez got that amazing goal with the Chilena, but, you know, I don't know, knowing that Peralta and Escobar are teammates in Santos and are doing a good job, you know, it's an idea that could be popping in Piojo's mind right now.
Yeah. Riso, what do you think he'll go with?
Naib, exactly the same thing. I mean, the choice of words that I was going to say. Everyone has, you know, America, León, Santos, right? When he was quoted, which Piojo was quoted, I have the whole team except, obviously, my goalkeeper and who's going to be with Oribe. I didn't think, you obviously have Raul. I didn't think of the Nigris at all. I wasn't even. I always thought, you know, Oribe and his counterpart, Escobosa, and Raul. Why? Because he had Raul come in. I mean, Escobosa come in the Finland game, and he did score. And if you look at that goal, Escobosa knew that, you know, Peralta was going to hold it. Six players went in. He turned around. He popped it in. And he had that goal. So I think that's his changing. I think he's going to go with Raul. He's obviously the savior in the two games against Panama. He is part of the America. He has that confidence in him. But what, you know, he has someone there to be in the bench that can come in. As far as goal, I still think he's going to be Moy. I think, the guy can score goals. Why not have, you know, score goals in the most important games? I'm not going to fault Corona for that goal in Finland, but he did miss, you know, that clear. So I think it's going to be the two positions that we're all in question of. It's going to be filled by Club America players.
I think he's going to go with Munoz because, you know, you might as well, really. I mean, if you're getting all your defence to be America and then you pick Corona and he makes a mistake because of a misunderstanding, I mean, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But I think up front he might go with De Nigris, me. I mean, like Naib said, he started with him on Saturday against Lobos Buap. And, you know, I think he tried to sign him for De Nigris for America as well. And I think he just really likes De Nigris and I think he likes what De Nigris brings with his holding up and stuff. And you know, Jimenez even, you know, obviously he did the overhead kick, which was amazing, but I don't think he's been in, like, the best form for the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I think, Tom, just to add to your point about the Nigris, I think, you know, Peralta and Humberto Suazo are I wouldn't say similar players, but the similar type of forwards that like taking shots outside the box, move around well with the ball. And the Nigris played excellent with Suazo. I think, you want a forward that understands that kind of playing alongside a forward that has a lot of mobility, that is not, you know, so impregnated to just scoring goals, you know, just being inside the box all the time. No, Peralta likes associating a lot. And then also the Nigris is able to, you know, pull some defenders away.
Yeah, no, also his hold-up as well. You imagine, and he gives another option. You know what I mean? He's so good at holding the ball up, De Nigris. I mean, you know, it's another option than a short pass or putting it down the wing. You know, you can play it into him. And once he's got it, then you've got runners like, you know, Montes and Peña coming down. Then you've got the wing-backs, Layun and Aguilar. You know what I mean? And I think he just, like, kind of makes a good focal point of the team. I mean, I think he's going to do that. I mean, I don't know. But I think the fact that he started with him on Saturday indicates that he might go with him. But we'll see. It's going to be...
He's not going to start a Chivas player, man. Let's just be honest. It'd be bad morale to start him. I mean, they've been losing. Let's just finish him off. You did well. You couldn't do anything at Chivas. You can't put in that guy. I mean, you got to have somebody, some winners out there. And I like Chivas. I'm just messing around. But I can see that also being a possibility. He did cut his hair, though, so I don't know if his powers are gone.
Yeah, I think
I didn't even recognize him. I'm like, who is that guy? Yeah, oh, my gosh, that's the Negris.
He doesn't look at the badass, does he?
Yeah, I'm like, where is that guy? But you make a good point, Tom. It is true. The way he holds the ball, I've always loved that about the Negris, and that's what you kind of would want in a 4-4-2, a type of like a Negris type player. But him and Oribe can make a good combo.
Yeah, and I think we got to – I don't know. For me, I mean, Oribe Peralta in the last couple of months just maybe one of the only Mexico players that has been, for me, absolutely amazing. I mean, he's just, you know, every time he's on the field, he's giving absolutely 100%. He's setting things up. He's like, he's working hard. You know, he's scoring goals. I mean, in good goals as well. I mean, I think he's been, you know, real, like, kind of shining light amid the darkness.
Yeah, that's what he is.
What does he have to do to get some kind of European recognition? Tom, you got to get your contacts, man. The guy has been key in every one of the tournaments. He's done everything right, and I don't see him, you know, Peralta, West Ham, Peralta to something. I can't believe. I mean, they took Borghetti at the end of his line. You know, let's
you know why? He said in an interview, Peralta, that, you know, he would like to go, but he's not going to go if they don't pay him the same, and he gets paid a lot of money at Santos. Like, he's kind of like the star. You know, he's the local boy, isn't he, from Torreón. Like, grew up pretty poor and, you know, made it as the big local hero. So I'd love to see him in Spain. I really would. I think he'd do something really special. Or in England, I think he battles enough and stuff, and he works hard enough. I'd love to see him. And I think he'd, you know, kind of for Mexican football, it'd be great to see someone like him playing over there in Europe. Definitely.
Yeah, I think after the Olympics, there was definitely offers for him. I'm pretty sure there was some kind of offer coming from Europe after the Olympics. I mean, especially after that final against Brazil. And I mean, since then, I mean, you know, he did have a little bit of not scoring as much goals. But, you know, in the moments that the team needs him the most is the moments that he shines. You know, it's that type of... Peralta is a typical Mexican player that explodes his talents at an old age. I mean, I think, you know, we would have wished for Peralta to explode those talents when he was 23, 20, 24. But now, you know, he's around, you know, he's almost hitting 30s. And that's when he's exploding the most. But, you know, he's found that that sort of balance in being in Santos and being the idol that he is in the team.
Yeah, I think a club could get, you know, a good 2 years out of him, you know what I mean, before bringing him back to Santos, like a good Spanish team, you know what I mean, a Valencia or something. I reckon he'd fit in pretty well. Anyways, prediction time. To wrap up the show, what do we reckon? How's it going to go on Wednesday? What's the score going to be?
I say on Wednesday, I think I see a 3-0. In Azteca, I think the key will be to score first, you know, as quick as possible, and get the crowd going. And then once the crowd is going, I think, you know, that use that time, you know, those minutes after the first goal to score the second. You know, I think there's no time to lose. The 90 minutes in Azteca are really important for the national team, because if you go with a comfortable lead to New Zealand, you know, it could be sort of like a vocational trip to New Zealand. You know, I think Piojo knows it. I think Piojo's rhetoric in the last few days has been, you know, we're going to leave our hearts on the field. And I mean, you know, I know that's the same thing that Vucetich said, and you didn't see it. But I think here the players are more connected to the coach than with the past coaches. So I think, you know, I see the lead going for Mexico.
I think we're going to score more than normal. So I think we're going to, I like the 3-0, but I want to go with a 3-1. I feel that if there's going to be some defensive mistakes. These guys are a little taller, a little fast, they're faster, they They're going to be going in the counter. One little hiccup. I know Rafa Márquez is the guy, but he's sometimes a little slow. So I'm going to go 3-1, same amount of goals, and hopefully we score. And I think early on is going to be the key, just like every game in the Azteca, getting something in there. But I think we're going to score fast, and hopefully we're going to take the pace and keep going, score as many goals as possible. But I think 3-1 is going to be my prediction.
Yeah, it's definitely not the fastest back three, is it, with Valenzuela, yeah. Rafa Márquez, and Massa. It's a bit worrying, that, thinking about it. But I think I'm going to go for a 2-0 to Mexico. But I think it's going to be a really difficult game. I think, you know, New Zealand, you know, you got to realise this is, I know there's pressure and there's going to be nerves, but it's also an opportunity for them, you know, to go out there and, you know, really put on a show. And I think Mexico are going to play well, but they're going to find it difficult to break down New Zealand. But I think they will do it eventually, and I think Peralta, with the form he's on, he's in, he's going to be absolutely key, and I think he's going to, you know, get a couple of goals there. So, yeah, I'm going to go with a 2-0.
Yeah, and I also got a little bit ahead, and I think Gullit Peña is going to have a great game on Wednesday. I think this kid captured the message a lot, you know, after the poor Gold Cup he had. And then he got the call-up from Bucetich, and now he gets the call-up from Piojo. You know, he's understood the moment, and I think it's really, impressive from this kid. I mean, you know, getting back out of that slump he had, and now he's going to play alongside Luis Montes, who he plays alongside him since 2 years ago. And I think that will help his game even more, you know, elevate a little bit more. For some reason, Gullit Peña plays his best football in Azteca. I don't know why, but that's the case. And I think I see a good game from Gullit. Just to point out, follow us on Twitter, @MexSoccerShow, for all the updates. We're going to be tweeting a lot in the next 2 weeks, that's for sure, with the games and everything. Follow @MexicoWorldCup, Tom Marshall, @NaguiMoran for myself, @JohnnyRico, who's over there at the Chargers game right now. And @GoalEric for Eric Gomez. Wiso, how can we contact you?
@Wiso Vasquez is personal, and then obviously @FootMixSource, any other questions for that websites.
And then also make sure to like our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/TheMexicanSoccerShow, where we put all of our articles each week, and you will read excellent stuff. Tom posted his story on his trip to Morelia, and and that was something to read. A good read, recommended.
Yeah, just happy I've survived. Quick note that Liga MX playoffs have been set. América against Tigres, Santos Laguna against Querétaro, León against Morelia, Cruz Azul against Toluca. A lot of big games there. Just a quick prediction before we wrap up the show and we go to Jason Pine over there in New Zealand. For champion, Liga MX champion, one word.
Santos.
Santos.
Ah.
You. What's your prediction, Tom?
León.
All right.
There we go.
I'm trying to jinx my... obviously León, but I'm just going to try to jinx it. That's
all I want. Anyways, thanks a lot for everything. And we'll be back after this with Jason from New Zealand. Welcome back to the second part of the Mexican Soccer Show. And now joining us all the way from Wellington in New Zealand, Jason Pine, who's a football commentator over there for Radio Sport. How's it going, Jason?
Very good, thanks, Tom. Very good. How are you?
Not bad. It's a different day over there, no?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, different day, but we're a little bit ahead of you, but looking forward to having you down under on the 20th.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, can you describe a bit of what the atmosphere is like in New Zealand at the minute, like with the build-up to this game in the Azteca on Wednesday or Thursday for you?
Yeah, well, it started to build, obviously, with the All Whites getting together in camp in LA in the last couple of days. I mean, it's kind of almost crept up on us a little bit. All these players have been playing with their professional clubs, of course, but they've all come together in LA to prepare for Thursday morning's game. It'll be for us. It's a 9:30 a.m. start for us on Thursday morning, so a lot of people are planning to have the morning off work to get themselves prepared and then watch this game. Look, I think losing Winston Reid last week was a big blow. You know, it was always going to be a difficult assignment, but it got made even harder by the loss of Winston Reid. But even with him not there, huge anticipation ahead of these games. Thursday, obviously, our time for the first leg, and then back here the following week in Wellington.
Good stuff, good stuff. And I mean, in general, in terms of a fan's point of view, is it, you know, are people positive they can, you know, they can take the game back to New Zealand with, you know, with at least, you know, a score that they can work with, or is it more negative, like, just, I don't know, what's the general feel?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of both, to be honest with you, Tom. I think there are some people who basically think we have no hope, that New Zealand has absolutely no chance against Mexico, and that really it'll be damage limitation, and if we can get away from the Azteca with anything better than a 3 or 4 goal loss, then we'll be doing pretty well. Others, and I have to count myself in this number, have just a funny old feeling that the New Zealand team will be galvanised by a bit of adversity in terms of losing Winston Reid and a couple of other players under injury clouds. The fact that we never really expected that it would be Mexico who would come up against in this game. It was, you know, at the start of the hexagonal, we just assumed, I guess along with a lot of the football world, that Mexico and the United States would be two of the top three, and we'd be looking at a team like Honduras or Panama, someone like that, as to our opponents. Now that it's Mexico, you know, it's there's a huge amount of excitement about it because, you know, let's face it, we don't get to have a superpower like Mexico come to visit us very often here in New Zealand. So, look, I think some people are optimistic. I think cautiously optimistic, and others are completely pessimistic and think it'll be a hiding.
Good stuff. And, I mean, you know, for people who don't know, like, where does football rank for people in New Zealand? Because obviously you've got the cricket and obviously the big one, the rugby. I mean, where does soccer compare to that in terms of, you know, people's passion?
Yeah, I think it goes in sort of it goes in peaks and troughs, really, depending on what's happening around the football scene. I think at the moment it's certainly up there because of these World Cup qualifiers, and when the All Whites made the World Cup 4 years ago in South Africa, you know, football was at an all-time high here in New Zealand. Rugby is our number one sport, and the All Blacks are a well-known brand right around the world. They're currently on a tour of the Northern Hemisphere, so they're getting quite a bit of coverage at the moment. And yeah, the cricket season obviously is underway soon as well, but I think for this week, and certainly for next week when this game is on in New Zealand, I think football's going to be very high in the public awareness, and I think it'll lead most of the sports bulletins on television, on the radio, and in the newspapers. I think football will have its couple of weeks in the sun in the next next 10 to 12 days or so, Tom.
Is there much sun over there at the minute?
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of wind, a little bit of sunshine, but look, I think, all joking aside, I think we'd love a cold, windy night here in Wellington next Wednesday, because I'm not sure that the Mexican players would look too much forward to that.
No, definitely not. And I mean, you know, for people listening, you know, Mexico fans who, you know, don't know much about the New Zealand side, I mean, what can we expect from them? Who are some of the players, you know, that could do damage? I mean, especially, you know, from the Mexican point of view, there are quite a lot of worries about the defence. I mean, there's three centre-backs, and the ones that looks like who are going to play, quite slow. I mean, do you think New Zealand can take advantage of that, or what kind of system do you think we're going to employ, stuff like that?
Well, I think in the away leg, the first leg at the Azteca, I think you'll see New Zealand set up in pretty much a defensive mindset. I think, especially initially, I think it'll be very much based around making sure that they don't concede early and that they stay with Mexico for as long as they possibly can. So it'll be a pretty defence-minded strategy to start with. But up front, there are a couple of players there who you know, on their day, could certainly cause some problems. Shane Smeltz is approaching a goal tally, which would have him as the all-time leading goal scorer for New Zealand. He's just come off hip surgery, though, so he's only been back a couple of games, but Shane Smeltz certainly is one of our attacking threats. The other is Marco Rojas, who in the last year or so has picked up a contract with Stuttgart in the German Bundesliga. He's a bit of a wonder kid, Marco Rojas, a rising star of New Zealand football, but he too has recently had an ankle injury, which has limited his game time in the last couple of months. But those are the two guys, I think, Rojas and also Smeltz, who might be the biggest attacking threats. The other is Chris Wood, who's more of your traditional number nine, a big, strong, sturdy centre forward who kind of puts himself about a bit and might be more useful on set pieces and things like that. So those are some of the attacking threats that New Zealand might present.
And do you think, Herbert's going to start with those three, or?
Look, I think
Wood will definitely...
Yeah, depending on the injury, I think Chris Wood will definitely start as your centre forward. Smeltz, I think they're talking about starting him, although he probably won't get the 90 minutes. Rojas, you may not see from the start. You might see in an impact role, or you might not see him at all until the Wellington League. I think it'll be I think Herbert's attackers on Thursday will be attackers who can defend, if you know what I mean. The ones who will chase between the centre-backs are happy enough to do shuttles between defensive players to stop the ball being advanced too quickly. So I think that's exactly what you'll see on Thursday.
And I think it'll be set up well for set pieces and stuff like that. There's also some worries from the Mexico side that, traditionally Mexico haven't been a team that defended well from set pieces. And we saw in the game against Finland that, Mexico had a few problems. Do you think New Zealand, that is going to be something they're going to really look to push if they do get a free kick or a corner in the opposition half?
Yeah, I think they probably will, Tom. I think that's where they see their best opportunity of getting some joy in the opposing penalty area. 4 years ago, when New Zealand beat Bahrain in the Intercontinental Playoff to reach South Africa, the goal that they scored that separated the two sides was from a corner. So, they'll certainly, I'm sure, be targeting any free kicks in the attacking third and certainly any corners they get to try and put one in the back of the Mexican net.
And what's the word from Ricky Herbert at the minute? Is he coming out with some strong statements, or is he kind of cautious, or what's the word out of the camp?
You never really get a lot out of Ricky Herbert, to be honest. He plays his cards pretty close to his chest. He's not the most quotable of football managers. He's unlikely to get too carried away. I noticed, though, that in the interviews he's done in the last couple of days since the side has arrived in Los Angeles, he's just made a couple of references to how there's quite a bit of pressure on the Mexican side. And I think he's just trying to deflect any pressure that is on New Zealand onto the Mexicans, talking about how they wouldn't have expected to be in this situation. They're not used to playing a home and away playoff. They probably don't even know where New Zealand is, almost trying to, I guess, just pile a bit of extra doubt and uncertainty into their minds and talking about how what might happen if it's nil all at half time in the first leg. What will that do to the crowd? And I know you and I have spoken, Tom, about what might happen with the Mexican crowd in a situation like that. So, I don't think he's talking too much about his own side. He's almost, in a subtle way, kind of putting a little bit of the focus back onto the Mexican side.
Interesting stuff. And Jason, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Before we go, can we get a quick prediction?
Yeah, look, a prediction. My heart says that I would love to have a draw or a narrow loss. My head says that New Zealand will be up against it. So I tell you what, I'll go halfway in between. I'll give us an away goal, and I'll pick Mexico 3-1.
Good stuff, Jason. Thanks very much.
Great, Tom. No problem at all. Great to chat.